Yeah, it should be. Morning, everyone. This is a very exciting day for me. Got quite a large portion of my family drove all the way up here just to hear me. Makes me feel so special. This is, as a lot of you may know, this is my very first time being up speaking. I have put a lot of thought into this lesson. It's something that's been going on in my mind for probably about the past year and a half now, about back when I first started. Little did I know that when you tell Brian that you have an idea for preaching, he just schedules you. That was good, though. He kind of gave me a deadline, which was the motivation I needed to finish what I had started and to be able to present these thoughts. This morning, I have chosen a subject that is rather difficult. It's very personal. But often with difficult things, there comes great reward. As you can see on the outline, which I was afraid Eldon was going to get the format wrong, came out rather perfect. My question this morning is, why me? I know personally I've asked this question in my life, why me? I'm sure everyone in here has a time in their life they can think to right now when they were thinking, why me? I've lost my job after so many years, why me? My health is failing, why me? What did I do, why me? Your spouse leaves you after many years with kids, why me? The reason I left this outline as open as I did was for two purposes, one of which I'll get to later, but the first one was to record a moment in your life that was rather trying. Why me? Was the thought. To think of that hard time, which may be difficult, but good to think about sometimes of where you've been in your life, of what's come around. And there are so many great examples in Scripture of people going through the why me. Personally, I have chosen one that I think is one of the greatest, gives more of a complete story. I've chosen Joseph to follow. If you'd like to turn to Genesis chapter 37. He has had one of those lives where everything seems to go from bad to worse, then to worser still. Why me? I just want to read a short text here from 37, starting in verse 2. These are the records of the generations of Jacob. Joseph was 17 years of age, was pasturing the flock with his brothers while he was still a youth, along with the sons of Bilhah and of Zilpha, his father's wives. And Joseph brought back a bad report about them to their father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his sons because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a various colored cloak. His brothers saw that his father loved him more than all his brothers, and so they hated him and could not speak to him on friendly terms. It just shows how serious they hated their brother. They didn't dislike him because he went and gave bad reports. They hated him. with passion. Just because he was the favorite. Was that his doing? Did he have any control of when he was born? Who he was born from? Why me? And it gets even more serious. If you want to go down to verse 18. When they saw him from a distance, and before he came close to them, they plotted against him to put him to death. That's how serious they hated him. They wanted to kill him. They wanted to take his life. And they said to one another, "Here comes this dreamer. Now then, come and let us kill him and throw him into one of the pits, where we will say a wild beast devoured him. Then let us see what will become of his dreams." We all know the story of his dreams, of God speaking to him, and how not only his brothers hated him for his dreams, but in the second dream, even his father rebuked him. "Am I going to bow down to you? Is your mother going to bow down to you?" Did Joseph have any control of what he was dreaming? If you want to scroll down to verse 21. "But Reuben heard this and rescued him from their hands and said, 'Let us not take his life.' Reuben further said to them, 'Shed no blood. Throw him into this pit in this wilderness, but do not lay hands on him, that he might rescue him out of their hands, to restore him to his father.'" See, even the oldest brother, who had a little bit more sense than the rest, still wanted to throw him into the pit. He still hated his brother, but out of respect for his father, wanted to restore him to him. In verse 23, "So it came about when Joseph reached his brothers that they stripped Joseph of his tunic, the various colored tunic that was on him. And they took him and threw him into the pit. Now the pit was empty without any water in it. Then they sat down to eat a meal." Did they have any hard feelings about what they had just done? I mean, they sat down to eat. They were happy they threw him in the pit. "And as they raised their eyes and looked, behold, a caravan of Ishmaelites was coming from Gilead with their camels bearing aramic, gum, and balm, and myrrh on their way to bring them down to Egypt. Judah said to his brothers, 'What profit is it for us to kill our brother and cover up his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites and do not lay our hands on him. For he is our brother, our own flesh.' And his brothers listened to him. And then some Midianites, traders, passed by. And so they pulled him up and lifted Joseph out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. And thus they brought Joseph into Egypt." So from Joseph's perspective, you know, being the youngest, I've had a lot of pranks pulled on me. I've had a lot of things happen to me, but it was all in good fun. I know that they weren't going to sell me as a slave. But from his perspective, he's got to start wondering, are they coming back? I mean, he knew that they hated him. But then there was a sigh of relief. Oh, hey, they're back. Oh, wait. I couldn't imagine the feeling of being sold by your own family. He is taken away far from his family into Egypt as a slave. Why me? I want to jump over to chapter 39. We see that Joseph's life as a slave just seems to keep getting worse. Not that being a slave wasn't worse enough. Let's start in verse 7. It came about after these events that his master's wife looked with desire at Joseph. And she said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said to his master's wife, "Behold, with me here, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house, but he has put all that he owns in my charge. There is no one greater in this house than I, and he has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do this great evil and sin against God?" Here Joseph is doing the right thing in a position of complete horror. And it goes on, as she spoke to Joseph day after day, he did not listen to her to lie beside her or be with her. Now it happened one day that he went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house was there inside. She caught him by the garment, saying, "Lie with me." And he left his garments in her hand and fled and went outside. When she saw that he had left his garments in her hand and fled outside, she called to the men of her household and said to them, "See, he has brought in a Hebrew to us to make sport of us. He came to me to lie with me, and I screamed. When he heard that I raised my voice and screamed, he left his garment beside me and fled and went outside." So she left his garment beside her until his master came home. Then she spoke to him with these words, "The Hebrew slave whom you brought to us came into me to make sport of me. As I raised my voice and screamed, he left his garment beside me and fled outside." Now when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spoke to him, saying, "This is what your slave did to me," his anger burned. So Joseph's master took him and put him in jail, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. And he was there in jail. Why me? I was just doing what was right. Trying to respect God, give God his life, but yet things keep getting worse. Why me? And it only gets worse from there. If you want to turn to chapter 40. We'll start in verse 20. Thus it came about on the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast for all his servants. And he lifted up the head of the chief cupbearer and the head of the chief baker among his servants. He restored the chief cupbearer to his office, and he put the cup in Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker, just as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. Being in prison, he interpreted the dreams of these two and gave them what God had told him, one of which was good news, one of which not so much. But he told the cupbearer, remember me when you are restored. Because I'm here in prison, remember me. But yet he did not remember, and Joseph was left in prison. Why me? But there is two sides to this question, why me? The first side, which we have just discussed, was woe is me. Why is all this stuff happening to me? But I have another thought for you this morning. If you would like to turn back to chapter 39. I'd like to start in verse 2. The Lord was with Joseph, so he became a successful man. He was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And now his master saw that the Lord was with him, and how the Lord caused all that he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and became his personal servant. And he made him overseer over his house, and all that he owned, he put in his charge. See, Joseph may have asked this question, why me? But did he let it get to him? Here he is, a slave, sold by his family. But yet he worked hard and found favor with God. A slave in a foreign land, why me? Why is God blessing me? Why me? And down in verse 21, but the Lord was with Joseph and extended kindness to him and gave him favor in the sight of the chief jailer. The chief jailer committed to Joseph's charge all the prisoners who were in the jail, so that whatever was done there, he was responsible for it. The chief jailer did not supervise anything under Joseph's charge because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made to prosper. Again, he, in a bad position, he was thrown in jail for something that he didn't do. In fact, for doing the right thing, he was thrown in jail. But yet God continues to bless him. Why me? I am now a prisoner. Why are you blessing me? Why are you taking care of me? And we all know how this story concludes with Joseph. If you want to turn to chapter 41. Starting in verse 38. Then Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find a man like this, in whom a divine spirit? So Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has informed you of all this, there is no one so discerning and wise as you are. You shall be over my house, and according to your command, all my people shall do homage. Only in the throne I will be greater than you. Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over all the lands of Egypt. Then Pharaoh took off his signet ring from his hand and put it on Joseph's hand and clothed him in garments of fine linen and put the gold necklace around his neck. He had him ride on his second chariot, and they proclaimed before him, bow the knee and all set him over the land of Egypt. We don't often know what life takes us. We don't often know why me. We may be put in positions like Joseph. We may be thrown into jail, and we don't know why. But God knows. There is a plan in everything. Why did my family leave me on this earth alone? God knows. Why did I lose my job? God knows. There have been many times in my life where I have seen God's hand at work. And it's awe-inspiring to have that hindsight, to see that situation that I was in and what actually came of it, that I had no idea. The seeds were planted that I didn't even know I planted because God was working through me. So my question this morning on the back of the outline is, why me? And when I wanted you to write the event that was hard for you, or you asked, why me? On the bottom half of the page, I want you to write, what came of it? Are you still going through it? Have you seen changes? Have you seen God's hand at work? So my question to you this morning is, why me? Why was I born in a family of Christians? Why was I raised in the church? Why was I raised knowing God's glory, His love, His mercy, where there's so many people in this world that have no idea? Why me? What is this opportunity God has given me? And how can I take advantage of it to give Him the glory that He deserves? Why me? Well, being a first lesson, I had no idea how to gauge it. I had no point of reference. I wanted to thank you all for your attention. I hope that this has been very encouraging. This is just something that has been on my mind for a while now. And it's very personal. It's something that we all relate to. That I hope that this has given you hope in dark times, if you are in them right now. I hope this has opened your eyes to see what has happened in the past, that to see what good has come from that. Because God loves us. He takes care of us. And even though we're in the darkness, there is light. We just have to look for it.